This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi, this is Essie Davis from the Babadook, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
and welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. Thanks to everybody from Transpositions for another great show. You can check them out on a podcast, of course. They do podcasts on joy.org.au. And we started off there with Into the West, the 2004 Oscar winner for Best Song, I believe, Original Song at the 76th Academy Awards, Best Original Song. It won an Oscar for the wonderful Annie Lennox, of course. It also won a Grammy for the 47th Grammy Awards and Best Song, Written Song for Visual Media. Of course, it was in Return of the King, so the last of the trilogy of the Lord of the Rings films by Peter Jackson. The reason I'm playing that is because we've had some very sad news, and very sad news indeed today that came through, something that happened on Monday, and that is the passing, the very sudden passing of Andrew Lesney, of course, the Academy Award-winning DP or cinematographer. Andrew passed away, it was believed, of a heart attack, only aged 59. Most will remember him and be aware of Lesney as the man who photographed all of Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings and all the Hobbit movies. So it's a huge loss. And yeah, I'm sort of reeling a bit about that. That wasn't a pun, of course, reeling and stuff. But yeah, he had an eye, an amazing eye for cinematography, for composing scenes. And the look of all the Lord of the Rings films is because of that man, single-handedly. Peter Jackson trusted him 100%. And you can hear the Rohan and Gondor themes in the background here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. So we're going to dedicate the show to him and to all his fans, and of course, LOTR fans and Hobbit fans. And the Australian film industry and the New Zealand film industry have lost a beacon of talent there, unlike any other, I believe. He lived a lot of the time in New Zealand, of course, Middle Earth, and he worked on other fabulous films such as I Am Legend, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, whatever your opinion is, that's fine. Babe, Pig in the City. He did, won awards, various awards. Worked for Peter Jackson, as we said, of course. He worked with great people like Cate Blanchett and Russell Crowe. Worked a lot and very closely with Weta Digital, of course, in Wellington. And worked on King Kong as well, Jackson's other film, The Lovely Bones, which is just a beautiful-looking movie. The Hobbit trilogy, as we said. He was also friends and worked alongside George Miller, Australian director, on things like Mad Max Road Warrior and even Happy Feet. Huge moneymaker that was for Miller. So, look, rest in peace, Andrew, and we won't forget. And every Christmas I like to binge on some Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, and it is definitely the cinematography that just captivates, and it's thanks to his work, his eye for detail and his eye for splendid panoramic scenery. And he just loved New Zealand, and New Zealanders did love him and took him into their bosom, one could say. So very sad news today. So beautiful films, and we won't forget him. And, of course, I do have the wonderful Jimmy Twin here as well. We're going to be talking comics, so we're going to lighten it up a bit, I think. And welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, it's second time? Third time, actually, I think.
I think it is the third time, yes.
Yeah, it would be. So we talked about cartooning with pride a couple of times, at least. And then we had you on the fifth birthday. Yeah, tell us a bit about yourself there, Jimmy. Cartoon with Pride and
So Cartoon with Pride
things.
Still going on a bit in the background now. So yep. There's a few projects on the way. Firstly, I'm working on my own digital comic strip, Frankie, that I'll be releasing in a proper printed version at the upcoming Melbourne Oz Comic Con. So that will be on the 27th to 28th of June. Also, while I'm going insane creating comic sort of versions, I'm also like working on a little zine project, which I hope to announce soon as well.
Yes, kind of have already, but look, no, it's going to be fun. Joy zine, that's about all we can really say at the moment, but it will be inclusive and certainly represent right across our community, queer community and alliances for people to get involved. So more of that. I think that's going to be August, roughly, we hope. And we'll be publishing it ourselves. Lots of excitement there. We'll have more details in the next couple of weeks about that and how you can get involved if you wish to. And Yes, so we've got also a little extract, a segment of an interview I had with the fabulous Kiwi cartoonist, comic artist Dylan Horrocks coming up later on in the show. We'll look at The Age of Ultron, of course, that Avengers movie. Also, I'll do a little bit of a chat about Ex Machina, the new Alex Garland film. Well, actually, it's his debut, his directorial debut, the man who wrote the screenplay for things like 28 Days Later. So we'll talk to him. Well, we won't talk to him. I'd like to talk to him. I'll talk to myself about that. I only saw that this morning, so it's still fresh in the mind, some could say. We'll also do a bit of Star Warsing, a bit of fanboy fangirling on that, because the big one's next week. What is it?
Oh, May the 4th be with you.
Yes. Well, we'll be doing it on May the 5th, so, because, of course, May the 5th is a Tuesday, and that's when Sci-Fi and Squeam is on, of course. So,
and May the 6th would be the next
day. I know, that's the dark side of the celebrations, which is probably the more popular, to be quite honest. Just throwing it out there, how many Rebel Alliance cosplayers do you think there are compared to Stormtroopers and Evil Empire?
Well,
seriously,
you're given a choice to dress up as either Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker.
Who would
unless
you choose?
Unless you're missing an arm, it's sort of an obvious choice. So.
Well, they both miss an arm, don't they? Eventually.
Well, I think Darth Vader ends up losing more.
But he does lose more, but he's got the height, which I think most people would probably like. You know, unless it's a really hot day with that helmet and everything. But yeah, you're right. I think everyone likes a Stormtrooper and a Darth Vader, don't they?
Yeah, and I think there's always the appeal of, because the villains make the heroes, and I think that's what draws people into epic sagas such as Star Wars. So,
big soap operas in space, that's what they are, people, aren't they? What do you think? Let us know, 0427JOY949. You can phone 1300JOY949. You can even email, we still do that, on air at joy.org.au. And you can go to our Facebook page, which is, of course, Sci-Fi and Squeam. Yeah, Facebook, just put it in the little engine-y thing there and search away. What else will be, you're going to be talking about a very recent development in the comics verse.
Well, it's a very exciting time for people who are interested in comic books. So
yes.
Both with this coming Saturday being Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, May the 2nd. Yeah. Be with you. Going to be sick of saying May.
So for those who don't know about that, we'll be talking about that. Mm-hmm. And also looking at, I think, one of the most famous outings in the comic book world to date has just occurred.
Oh, it's not the big one. Well, it's pretty big. Yeah,
it's turning into the big one.
It's turning big. It is. It's really gathering momentum. We did touch on it very generally last week with Matt Emery from Picatia Press doing Paper Trail, but we didn't want to give too much away, and it was just hit, I think, earlier that day. So me not being an expert of those things, I thought it best to drag Jimmy in to explain the importance and the excitement and you know, the influence of this new member. Well, he's not new. He's been around ages.
So the X-Men comic books have been around since 1963.
Yes.
So they're actually like one of the longest running, I wouldn't say single series, because there's multiple series going. Mm. And one of the founding five members, so is character named Robert Drake, otherwise known as Bobby, that people may know as Iceman. So he's also starred in the X-Men series of movies as well, so played none other by Sean Ashmore. And in the comic book world, it's very much like a soap opera on your pages. And
spandex.
Yes, very much so. And in this storyline that's occurring in the Marvel Universe at the moment, they thought it would be sort of a fun idea to have a little bit of a time warp occur and have some of these younger original X-Men come to the present time, so travel forward in time, and so they're existing with their older selves. And it's this younger version of Iceman has just been outed by his friend Jean Grey.
Right, and Jean Grey is also, wasn't there some queer elements to her character in another one of these universes, or am I totally wrong? Probably.
She has a lot of issues.
She has issues? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, she's just done that to our friend, that particular X-Man. So what do you think? I mean, we might as well talk about it very soon, of what you think about that. But, of course, don't go away for Sci-Fi and Squeam. We will be back talking more comics and various things. We'll have some more music, too, if we get some time. And, don't forget, we will have a little chat with Dylan Horrocks, of course, from Kiwiland. And he's worked at DC on Batgirl and Vertigo Comics. So he's done some incredible stuff in his time and is still rocking it. Still has the magic pen, one could say. So it is good to have you here in the studio, Jimmy. Don't go away, people. This is Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
Get something shocking in your ear every Tuesday night at 10 on Joy 94.9. Join us. 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 Join us.
It's Joy Zine. What is it? Joy Zine.
It's going to be
an amazing thing. What's it about?
Find out soon.
More details will be released
for Sci-Fi Scream
on Joy 94.9.
It's a handmade DIY
zine
with comics, cartoons,
artists,
creators,
poets.
It has writings.
It's a queer zine. It's a queer zine.
And you,
yes, you
can be involved.
Just
stay tuned to Sci-Fi and Scream
on Joy 94.9.
Twitter, just go to joy.org.au.
Sci-Fi and Squeam Facebook page.
Joy Zane.
Hey everybody, this is Christelle Alonso and I am boldly going where no man has gone before. Or maybe they have. I don't know what kind of life you live. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Oh, she's awesome. She's marvellous. That's Christelle Alonso, whom I spoke to a little while back with the comedy festival that was here in Melbourne. And, of course, this is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Squeam, in case you didn't know. And we had that. That was a bit of a get-down Saturday night. It has nothing to do with Tuesday night, of course. It's Oliver Cheatham, way back. It's a remix, I should say, Jam Point from 1983. What's it all about? It's in the Ex Machina or Machina, or Machina, or however you say it, our film that I saw earlier today, and I'll chat a bit more about that later, but there's just a wonderfully dodgy scene in there without spoiling it too much, but there will be spoilers in the next part of the show, of Oscar Isaacs, one of the lead actors in the film, who gets down with it and dances in this very unusual scene that's totally politically incorrect, but he's pretty good. I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but he shakes his booty, and he's going to be shaking his booty in the Star Wars verse, so he's going to be in the next Star Wars movie.
Very much
big one. I think he's an X-Wing pilot in that. So anyway, we'll be keeping our eyes on him as he goes and multiplies his fame by thousands and thousands. But we have Jimmy here from Cartooning with Pride and other things, Frankie and everything else, talking about, of course, picking up where we left off, about what queer goings on and who came out last week. Was it only last week?
Well, it was leaked last week, but officially it was this week.
Right. Yeah, it's very recent, isn't it? Very recent, then. So tell us about that, a little bit more about that, what we already haven't spoken of.
Yeah, so what we found is that after Bobby was outed by his friend, there's been quite a big, I'd say, backlash, outcry, crisis support through social media online. So there's many people, rightfully so, saying that it may have lacked tact and it was perhaps a little bit too close to home, which I think that's maybe there was an outcry, that it's not always a pleasant experience being outed. And if it's by one of your best friends, then, and it was a private conversation between the two. Some have quite rightfully said that it was quite out of place, that these group of X-Men just come back saving the universe from a Black Vortex entity and then come back to hamburgers and basically them going off and getting outed, or him getting outed. So it's it didn't really fit the storyline per se. My main concern about the story is not so much of how it happened. I think it's great that Marvel celebrate diversity whenever they can. And even the actor Sean Ashmore has tweeted his support about it. So if there is going to be a gay Iceman character, that looks like he'll be happy to play it. It's more the timing that this comic book series, which is called All New X-Men, only has one more issue, and then Marvel goes into this new storyline called Secret Wars, and that the universe itself will no longer exist, and all the characters will either no longer be there or will be displaced into different realities or universes, or different universes all combining together. So there's a few different theories about how this is going to occur, and some of the X-Men could have, there's even been some talk that they'll go to a completely different universe disconnected from any other character. Whether all these X-Men will survive and the journey, don't know. So it could be quite poor form on Marvel's behalf if they introduce this character and then in a few weeks' time, we find out that this character no longer exists. So I think we just have to stay tuned for that.
They seem to have a bit of a habit of doing that, though, for some of the comics. And also, isn't it true that writer of this particular, what do you call it, what would you call it, our particular hook of the storyline. In fact, Michael Bendis is going to be leaving that anyway as a writer. Is that right?
He possibly can be, yes. Mm. So there's no clear direction. And I think it's because of the Secret Wars storyline. Mm. So it could be opening things up to a whole new story, which is the most probable case. So not to be too cynical about it, they're probably making a way for a new Iceman, and it might only be a singular Iceman that carries forward, and maybe this character who they're able to explore more his both his sexuality and his powers, because this X-Men is actually one of the most powerful of the mutants that ever existed. So what's it called, Omega level mutant, but it's,
well, it's ice baby.
Yes,
so isn't it?
Certainly is.
Yeah. freezing. Well, look, it is going to be interesting, and we'll watch that closely, the development of that and maybe some other characters. But there's a plethora of characters that have at some stage had you know, the different types of gender diversity and sexuality anyway, hasn't there been?
Yeah,
back and forth. I mean,
I think one of the most prime examples at the moment is the character Thor, that talking about the Age of Ultron movie that's come out, that some people were confused thinking that they just changed the gender of Thor, but no, storylines occurred that Nick Fury, or perhaps an older version of him, whispers something in Thor's ear, and it's not clear what, but suddenly Thor becomes unworthy to wield his magic hammer, and then this mysterious female is able to wield it, and then takes upon the persona of, I think, Thor, goddess of thunder. So the next issue, they'll actually reveal who this character will be, and but also this character also will be subjected to the whole Secret Wars storyline. So it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen with her, whether she's going to be a temporary entity that's just a filler now to bring in this new story, or whether the comic book sales, because this female Thor is actually outsold.
Yeah, 30% higher sales,
yeah, and it was,
takings, yes.
And I think the first four issues actually ranked it in number 6 in the comic book sales in the US.
That's amazing.
So it shows a great success story for a female character that people are craving for.
Yeah.
So it could be that, who knows, it may be two Thor-type characters. So we'll have to wait and see with that. But I think that's showing the way that people want a bit more of, I guess, equal representation in the comic book kingdom. And Marvel are taking it on board. Also part of this Secret Wars storyline will be a female version of the Avengers called the A-Force. So not the A-Team,
the A-Force. Yes, the A-Force.
And
yeah,
will be led by She-Hulk with one of my most favourite characters, little-known character called Medusa, an inhuman character who's got hair, like prehensile
snakes.
Hair that she can wrap around.
Oh, so it's like
things.
The snakes, yeah, like the Greek concept of the snakes.
Very much
make
so, it, yes.
Make people freeze to
and
stone.
Also other characters, Dazzler, Singularity, Japanese-American character Nico Minoru as well. They're going to be headlining this new Avengers team during this Secret Wars saga. So it certainly shows that Marvel
is made into a film, wouldn't it?
Oh, that'll be an excellent film.
Could be a while. Could be 2020 before we hear that happening.
Oh, when's the last Avengers movie coming out? They'll be almost there.
2018,
so, yes.
I think. Well, yeah, 2018, I believe. Wow, comics, too much happening. But there always has been. It's just this pantheon of all these super-powered people and confused and angst types, a lot of them.
Oh, very much so. And that's always been from the outset.
Yeah,
so,
stories.
Many people think that comic books, and it has started off as results of World War II and being used as a propaganda machine.
Yeah.
But then also it's this powerful step in, I guess, shaping our popular culture of today.
Yes.
And I think people don't realise how
much the 20th century would be very influenced and influential on comics from, I mean, the X-Men, the mutants, of course, was based on the civil rights movement that began in the US. So, you know, there's all those common threads and that reflection of what's going on in modern culture, modern contemporary society. I guess for queer people, it's now with the X-Men as
very much
symbolically. So. Very good, Jimmy. Well, don't go away. you or anyone listening tonight here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. We'll be talking more comics, actually. We've got a fabulous interview coming up with someone who's been in that big machine of industry over in the US. He's, well, through emails and through doing his work, thankfully, through social, you know, interaction and the internet. And that's Dylan Horrocks, because he's actually worked for DC and other big outfits as such. So we have a chat with him very soon, and also we'll talk more comics, a little bit of Age of Ultron if we've got time, and then Ex Machina, which is coming out May the 7th at very limited release here in Australia, which is a bit of a shame, but maybe it'll build a momentum. We'll see what happens to the cogs of industry. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy
94.9. Yeah, it come. Hi, I'm Uwe Boll. And you listen to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. And I'm here at the Home Cooked Comics Festival for 2015 in Northcote. It is Anzac Day. As it turns out, it's on a Saturday. It's just a coincidence. And here we are, two Anzacs here without the biscuit. I'm with Dylan Horrocks, and I want to welcome you to the show, Dylan.
Thank you. Thank you.
But yes, Dylan, what a career that spans a few decades now of your work, cartoons, comics, graphics. And certainly it is amazing for you to be in Melbourne for this venture today. How are you going today, being here at Home Cooked?
It's great. It's a wonderful festival. It's kind of small and intimate, but really interesting. And then tomorrow will be the market day, so all sorts of people will be coming and buying comics, and there'll be more talks. It's the second time I've been to Melbourne. I came some years ago for a little festival at the Wheeler Centre, and also ran a workshop for a week. So I got to know the local comic scene a little bit then, and was enormously impressed. Mm. And so it's wonderful to be back and see some old friends and discover new people doing stuff. Yeah, it's just, Melbourne just seems to have such an interesting comic scene.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty diverse too, and we've had the Ledgers on the 10th of April. We had that, which acknowledges the contribution that artists and writers for comics make. Yeah, it's good to see that happen. But for you, let's dig into that career a little bit. This is probably the first time some of our listeners have perhaps heard of you, which is appalling. They should know who you are, and they will now. They've got no excuse. But your career goes back to the days of Auckland Uni, I think, wasn't it? Crackham, and maybe more, and of course Hicksville, and more recently the Magic Pen, and many, many, many things. But let's look right back to those early uni days.
Actually, when I was at university, mm-hmm. I discovered a comic published from Melbourne called Fox Comics,
okay.
which was edited by Dave Vodaker and Phil Bentley, and it was really a very interesting comics magazine. It had contributions by a range of Australian cartoonists, mm-hmm. also some of my some British cartoonists who were a revelation to me as well. Amazing magazine. So I started sending them stuff, and they started publishing it. So my first overseas published comics were published here in Melbourne as well. I guess, I mean, I was just obsessed with comics from the very beginning, mm. and I was reading comics. My dad was into comics, so our house always had a good range of stuff there. Mm. And I grew up reading Tintin and Asterix and Peanuts and so on, but also some quite obscure stuff. He had collections of old 1940s Captain Marvel comics by C.C. Beck. And I was always drawing my own comics, too. In a way, it feels to me like comics were my first storytelling language. By the time I started kind of doing it professionally, I guess, I'd probably drawn hundreds and hundreds of pages of comics by then, and I'd put quite a lot of them out in print. So I never really made a big distinction between the professional work and the non-professional work, because to me it was all the same work. So it's hard to sort of say when it turned into a career. Yeah, I mean, I've done all kinds of things over the years. For a while, I was writing comics for DC Comics in America. Mm. So I wrote Batgirl for a while, and I did a Vertigo series called Hunter, the Age of Magic. That sort of helped us climb out of the financial hole that you dig when you're freelancing for a long time. And I've now got three books out of my own.
What's the scene like in New Zealand, for example? compared to here?
In New Zealand, the scene is big and it's growing and it's very active. You know, we never had an industry in my lifetime. We did actually have a comics industry in the 1940s. That was during the Second World War, when there was a lot of... It was very difficult to import anything. Mm-hmm. There were import controls, and and the logistics were hard anyway. So comics weren't being imported. And so a few people stepped up and filled that market gap by producing New Zealand-made comics, mm-hmm. which did quite well. You know, there was a handful of people who earned an okay living and managed to run successful businesses doing local comics. That all dried up after the war when the import restrictions were eased. Mm-hmm. And the New Zealand market was flooded with overseas comics again. So then we had nothing. You know, we just had a few people doing comics for student newspapers or capping magazines.
Yes,
or,
yes.
And then since the 1970s, people have started to produce. In the late 1970s, we had a guy called Colin Wilson, mm-hmm. who was a young cartoonist, and he, with a group of other cartoonists, created a magazine called Strips. Colin then left New Zealand and went to England and worked for 2000 AD and then worked in the European industry. And he now lives in Melbourne. So it's another kind of Melbourne connection. There's a few really good New Zealand cartoonists who've ended up in Melbourne. Colin Wilson is one. And he's doing work for the European industry, the American industry. He's a big name in Europe. I've travelled with him in Europe, and he gets big cues for his signings.
He gets mobbed.
He gets mobbed, yes. But there's also Tim Malloy. Tim Malloy, who's got a few books out with Milk Shadow, and he's an old New Zealander. I mean, I sort of knew him back in New Zealand. So there's all sorts of connections. It's the Anzac thing again.
Yeah.
Matt Emery, who's not only drawing great comics, Gazumo, but he's also publishing all sorts of fantastic stuff.
He's a comicologist or an archaeologist.
Yeah, and he's unearthing a lot of forgotten old New Zealand and Australian comics, researching them, interviewing people, gathering an archive of stuff, and he's getting both old stuff back in print and also publishing new exciting comics from New Zealand and Australia. Matt is one of the true kind of heroes of Australasian comics.
Yeah. You hear that, Matt?
Yeah, we love you, Matt.
Because he does Paper Trail. He does a little segment on my show, so I just could not have him.
Yeah.
I had to have him.
Yeah, Matt's really, he's, you know, we sort of want him back.
Yes, despite all that.
For comics, it's an incredibly exciting time.
Mm.
And I think that comics are more diverse, more exploring more topics. They're much more becoming a central part of the cultural landscape. I'm Dylan Horrocks, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just say 94.9 again. That's fine.
On Joy 94.9.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much. Yes, that was Dylan Horrocks, and a fantastic bloke from across the ditch there in New Zealand. But he does travel a lot. Like, he goes to France. He was in France 2 weeks after the terrible Charlie Hebdo incident and massacre, and knew some of the cartoonists, which was really sad and tragic for him. He's actually worked with a couple, and it was a real big, very life-changing and dramatic situation for him and experience. And then he was over there visiting, and also he did one of the festivals where it's a bit like the popular culture conventions that we have here. In fact, Jimmy, because I'm looking at you, Jimmy. Jimmy Twin here in the studio with us on Sci-Fi and Squeam. Yes, because what they do is they get them to do big draw-offs. They have all these huge tables on the stage. They get all the cartoonists, and they put cameras on them, and they have the huge screens behind, and they have to furiously do these drawings. You know, it sounds awesome.
Mm, and I'm sure that's just what cartoonists like, to be watched while they work.
And then watched by cameras, and the crowds cheer, and they actually throw flowers at them, and not pens, because that could be dangerous. And they, because, you know, you don't want to get a biro in your eye or anything. And they love them. They adore them. It's such a different culture. It's so different from here where, you know, it's just so different, according to dear Dylan. So if you want to hear more, the whole, full, unedited, almost unedited, unadulterated, unabridged interview I have with Dylan Horrocks. Certainly you may, because I will pop it up on the webpage for joy.org.au in, give me a day or two, give me about 48 hours, we'll see how we go, and I'll pop it up there and put all the links on Facebook and all the social media, etc., and you'll hear the full story of this man. It is about 60 minutes long, so make a strong brew of tea, maybe a kettle or two, and sit down and listen to that. Yes. All right, look, we've got a bit of time for a bit of Ultron. We've got a couple of minutes. It's not very much time, Jimmy, is it?
For such a brilliant movie. I am very biased, of course.
You are biased, aren't you?
Yes, I'm very much a comic book fanboy, but I couldn't find all that much to fault the movie on.
Yes. Well, it's out now. You can't miss it. It's everywhere. I mean, it's social media, everything. It's just this massive beast of Joss Whedon's that he has created. This is his last one, his last
this
outing,
last
I believe.
One, yes.
He's not going to be doing the third one. Oh, they want him, though, don't they? Disney wants him.
I think they definitely.
Marvel wants. Everyone wants him. Of course, it's the 2015 American superhero film based on the Marvel Comics superhero team, The Avengers. That's a mouthful. It's Walt Disney Studios now, Motion Pictures, of course. And it's a sequel to the 2012 The Avengers, the 11th installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or MCU. There's an acronym for you. It's got all the usual characters in it, but some new ones. Paul Bettany is your favourite.
Yes.
Believe it was your favourite, Vision.
Yes, I did like Vision, so...
He's purple, isn't
purpley
he?
Purpley pink, yes.
Spoilers, we haven't seen it. He's purpley pink with a cape. Wasn't sure about the cape thing growing out of his back, but hey.
I like what he looked at for when he did it, so...
And look, it's a biggie. It's breaking all the box office hits. You know, it's not a miss, that's for sure. Not quite up there with Fast and the Furious 7, but getting there. It's got Chris Evans, of course, the wonderful Mark Ruffalo. I'm very biased towards the Hulk. Jeremy Renner, Don Cheadle, doesn't appear enough in it, but he's very amusing. We've got some newbies in there. Aaron Taylor-Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen. So some newbies there, and even see a little bit of Hayley Atwell in there.
Yes.
From the Captain American verse, and of course the TV show. I don't know, have you watched it?
Yes, yes, yes. Mm. I'm quite into that show, yeah.
What's it called again? Forgotten. Isn't that terrible?
Agent Carter.
Agent Carter. Yes, that's it. Get smart, Sonia. Get smart. Get with it. Yeah, look, filmed everywhere around the world, but so you liked it. You're biased.
Yeah, and I think that they do quite a masterful job in bringing all these storylines together. Mm. So people who religiously follow the comic book like genres will know that a lot of these movies are not set in the same time scale. The ages are quite different. For instance, not a huge spoiler in the movie, that Iron Man the Hulk didn't create Ultron. It was actually character Hank him who will be Ant-Man in the next
little
movie.
Guy.
So I thought that was going to be his introduction, and it wasn't. Mm. But so there's a few things they take creative license on. I think all in all, to bring off such a epic storyline in such a way was a success.
Mm. Oh, well. Yep, well, it's going to be everywhere. It's IMAX, it's 3D. Of course, I'm going to say this because I want it on record. There was no Scarlet Witch 3D glasses. It's just not right. Jimmy saw me fussing about scaring the poor ushers, asking them awkward questions. Where are they? Where are they? Where is she? And did you see me later? I went up later too. And
I think I was hiding.
You were hiding. You were a bit embarrassed. But
Scarlet Witch is actually one of the, I guess, I've got a huge cult following for female characters in the comic books.
Yeah.
And she's immensely powerful. So she has...
one of the
people
most
who
powerful.
Don't know, yeah, she has the ability that develops for her to alter reality itself. So it's... You can't really question that. So I think if anyone actually wants to read a comic book series, I think House of M is probably the most masterful sort of story that focuses on her. Which she kind of removes the mutant abilities for the majority of mutants on the planet. So she's...
Cool.
So
very powerful.
Very much a force to be reckoned with.
Awesome. Also, you know, there has been a little bit of stuff that's happened since the film came out to do with Joss Whedon. There's a little bit of anti-Whedon at the moment, and I can understand that to a point because of some comments that have been made and post, well, during the junkets and the various press meetings that the actors have, something Chris Evans and, of course, Jeremy Renner said, but, you know, you can find out more about that on our Facebook page and make your own opinion, whether it's sexist or misogyny and such. Probably just poor taste as well. Bad taste. Moving on. Let's move on from that. Look, it's popcorn with mutant powers, you know, and 3D glasses.
Wait, not allowed to say mutant.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Can't we say that?
No, because X-Men's run by a different film production company. So for Disney, they made an agreement. So even though Marvel own, they've actually trademarked the word mutant, that you will not hear the M-word. So
no M-word.
Yeah, so it's children safe.
All right, fine. So it's out everywhere through Disney and in every major cinema multiplex. See it if you can. Not avoid it. Go see it. Jimmy likes it, so that's good. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. We'll talk about Ex Machina, or Machina, because that's about machines, of course, very soon here on the show. Don't forget to message us on 0427-JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Facebook. Footbook. I was going to say footbook, but Facebook will do.
That's a social media too that didn't quite take off.
Didn't quite. It's the mutant powers of the feet. That's it. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy.
Hello, Kitty is a girl, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
So how does a programmer get to be meeting the CEO?
I won a competition.
The president can't get Mr. Garrick on the phone. You got the golden ticket.
It's good to meet you, Nathan.
It's good to meet you too, Caleb. Can we just get past the whole employer-employee thing?
Cheers.
In many ways, this building isn't a house. It's a research facility. I want to talk to you about the greatest scientific event in the history of man.
Are you building an AI?
Hello.
Hi.
I've never met anyone new before. Have you?
None like you. She's incredible.
The challenge is to show you that she's a robot and then see if you still feel she has consciousness.
Do you want to be my friend?
Of course.
Will it be possible?
Why would it not be? Have you never been outside this building?
We could go together.
Did you program her to flirt with me?
Do you think about me? If you lie, I will know.
No.
Lie.
Maybe she's pretending to like you.
Well, why would she do that?
Do you think I might be switched off?
It's not up to me.
Why is it up to anyone?
Yeah, Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. And Ex Machina or Ex Machina, depends how you say it. Excuse me. I mean, well, it is a little bit of a chat here on Sci-Fi and Squeam about this new movie. It's due out May 7th, like a lot of things are. Due out on May 7th. It's that time of year, of course. And the magazine New Scientist has called this film a rare thing to see as a movie about science that takes no prisoners intellectually. It calls it stylish, spare and cerebral, a psycho-techno-thriller, don't say that in a hurry, which gives a much-needed shot in the arm for smart sci-fi, and I have to agree. I saw it this morning. My eyes were blurry, the coffee was getting cold, but I was totally engaged and plugged into this movie. Basically, is it about playing God? Is it about Willy Wonka? Just another alternate view, because basically Domhnall Gleeson's character, the wonderful, fabulous ginger Domhnall Gleeson, or maybe he's a strawberry blonde. Look, you've seen him in Harry Potter, you've seen him in Never Let Me Go, you've seen him in several other sci-fi and fantasy films in the time, and of course he plays this character who, Nathan, who, you know, basically he's going to win this prize, and it's to be immersed in this new world, this world that has been developed by a technical whiz, a brain, a genius of a man, played by Isaac Oscar, and Oscar Isaacs. I'm always getting his name mixed up, but you probably know him from Sucker Punch, and he's been in various other films, and will be in Star Wars, as we mentioned earlier, here on Sci-Fi and Scream. Now, he's a very progressive scientist and computer scientist, and is working on making, well, artificial intelligence, AI, basically, like there's never been before. And, of course, I'm going to spoil it for some people by saying that. But, look, it's a first-time outing for Alex Garland as directing the film completely on his own. He wrote it, directed it, produced it, did about everything on it, pretty much, except hold the camera. And we know him from 28 Days Later. He did the screenplay for that, also for Sunshine, which is a miraculous film. 28 Weeks Later, which I quite enjoyed. It does go well with the first one. Never Let Me Go, which will just make you scream inside emotionally. Dread, maybe not so much. named after you know what, that character, Dredd. And now Ex Machina. He's done it all. This is for this year. Look, he's won several awards, including a screenplay for 28 Days Later and Fangoria and a Saturn Award. But this film, I think, is going to put him on the map. It's a pity it's a very limited release in Australia at this stage. Shot in Norway for the outdoor scenes are incredible. It's a bit like Lord of the Rings, but Norway's pretty similar. And little film from A4 Films and Film 4 in Universal Pictures actually backed this as well. So it stars Elisa Amanda Vikander, wonderful Swedish actress. She's more of a dancer, but this will put her on the map. She's got actually 8 films out this year. Has Isaac Oscars, as I mentioned before, and of course Domhnall Gleeson. Domhnall Gleeson's been in things like what's he been in? Unbroken, Dread. He's been in Frank recently last year, Never Let Me Go. Of course, he was Bill Weasley in the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. And, of course, in recent times, he will be in J.J. Abrams' Star Wars The Force Awakens, so, and Black Mirror, as I mentioned. So, yeah, it's all about the Turing test, if you know what that is. Jimmy, you know a bit about that. You've been a scientist and all.
I am a scientist, but in the area of biology, not in artificial intelligence.
Okay. But you get the idea. It's about testing if this artificial intelligence has the ability to be conscious and intelligent to relate to a human intelligence.
Yeah, so it's so basically it's the ability for a computer to be able to pass itself as a human, and so that human's not aware that they're actually communicating with a machine. Put simply.
Basically. Yeah, so that's the test. So this young bloke, played by Gleeson, has to come in. He is the human test to relate to a female form, a female gendered AI. And, of course, this, well, you can imagine, opens all sorts of cat bags and Pandora boxes and so on. Is it really a literal objectification of women in sci-fi cinema? And director Alex Garland confirms that is true. He's actually said, yes, this is what I'm trying to go for, because this is what we need to look at and why women are treated this way, and this age-old representation of women. And it's got some very disturbing moments. I must warn people that there are disturbing moments with females in there. They are AI, but the way they look is so realistic. It's just breathtaking cinematography and clever CGI, of course. But it's very profound and disturbing, and not for everyone. I squeamed in my seat, not in a good way, and I did feel uncomfortable by some of the challenges that it faced. It is confronting to do with gender and to do with the role of females, because they are pretty much, we can say, slaves in some respects. So these two men are totally different ends of the spectrum. One is the dastardly scientist that's quite crazy, obviously. That's played by Isaacs. And the other one is the what we think is a sweet and open-minded young scientist or young computer programmer. They're both programmers, basically, as well. And we think that he's going to be liberating in some way, or more liberal as well. But the twist. There is a twist. Don't want to spoil it for you. I just want to say, head along to it, people, when it does come out May 7th. It is on very, very limited release. It's only at Nova. Nowhere else. And this is a coup for them, but it was a sleeper hit for spring, which is now in the Northern Hemisphere. It's done so well, and it's breaking quite a few records for a tiny wee budget of a movie. It's doing very well, and I wish them all the best. And I think we've got some big stars there to look at. Those two males, and of course, Alicia Vikander. Yeah, very interesting. She plays Ava, the AI. Oscar Isaacs is Nathan Bateman. Sorry, I got that wrong before. I wonder if that's like, what's his name, Bateman? You know, from American Psycho. He's got a bit of psychotic tendencies. There's also a great piece in there, a performance by Sonoya Mizuno as Kayoko. And we've got Samara A. Templeman as Jasmine and Alina Elamus as Amber. And I won't reveal what those characters are, but let's say they're pretty mute females, and maybe that would upset some audiences. But head along and see it. It starts May 7th. I'm giving it 4 out of 5. I'm taken by this film. A bit like Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson that came out about a year and a half ago now. It's dark sci-fi, but it's a sci-fi we need to have. And this is Sci-Fi and Scream. That's about it for tonight. Yeah. It's over so fast, Jimmy.
Well, thank you for having me tonight.
I know, I needed you. You had to be here. No, thank you so much for coming in. And we'll keep our eyes and ears open for Cartooning with Pride events coming up.
New zine project, perhaps.
And the zine project everyone's talking about.
Everyone.
Everyone like us. Up next, we have got the wonderful JB with Stripped Down, some chilling music. And you can hear this Ex Machina music in the background. I love it. I love it. It's by Ben Salisbury and Jeff Barrow. Also, The Cuts are also in here. And Savages. So they're on the soundtrack. I was taken with the soundtrack, so I just had to play it. So if you like Danny Boyle, and you do like Never Let Me Go, and things like novels by Kazuo Ishiguro, you're going to love Ex Machina. And enjoy that. And stay with us here on Joy 94.9. We'll podcast this next week. Have a fabulous week, and May the 5th be with you is next week. Star Wars. Actually, we forgot to talk about the Star Wars stuff, didn't we? Never mind.
Oh, see you on Saturday at Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, see you there. Get your free comics. Bye, everyone.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.